So you know, we will be going through the Truth Project this evening, even though I have to leave, well, not super early in the morning. I still want to do that this evening. So come tonight, 6 o'clock, for the Truth Project. It'll be a fun time of learning more about who God is and who we are. So today, I'll be honest with you, I've been struggling with what God wants me to preach on, and that's kind of led me to some things that we'll talk about next week about maybe where the Lord is taking us. And I'm really hoping that God will use this time at NAM headquarters as orientation to give me further clarity and insight. Because as I said, you know, God works in different ways than we do. And God does things in His own timing, in His own way. But at the same time, it's also, we also need to, figure out His will. And so that's what I've been doing, is getting clarity on His will. And today, I've talked about pursuing holiness. And I thought, maybe I should just really spend more time on that. But today I want to talk about living outside the box. Let me get my sermon up here. So it likes to refresh on me. Hopefully it'll come up. If not, I'll have to do things. There we go. So I want to ask you the question, why are you here? And just think about that. Why did God place you on this earth? This is something that the world, this is a question the world does not know. This is something that the world says, yeah, that's like the question of all questions. Why are we here? And a lot of times they don't, and the world doesn't know. And people try to figure that out. So, but that's a question I have for you. How about, I want you to think about this, the current or last job you had. None of us are actually working, that are here anyway, work outside of have a job outside of ministry here, except for, Daniel, if he was here. But when we have a job, we're given what? Hopefully we're given a job description. The company has a purpose statement of some kind, and they have values and all that. So you know why you're working for that company. You know what that company is about. You know what your role is in that. And it's usually pretty simple, straightforward, cut and dry. Grandview Cabinetry, where I'm a chaplain, a workplace chaplain, everybody has a job. They know what their job is. If it's to make face frames, the face of the cabinets, they know that's what their job is, to make frames. And they know how many to make, what size to make. If it's drilling what they call, I always get it backwards, screw pockets. I always say pocket screws or whatever, but screw pockets. They know that that's what they do all day long, and they know why they do it. It's easy when it comes to work, but when it comes to our personal lives and why God called us, that can be a little trickier. Because God has given us sort of a job description, and it's contained here in God's Word, but that's just an overall blanket, this is how we are to live our lives. You've heard that saying, Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. Well, that's kind of what it is. Basic instructions. This is how you're to live your life. Now, how specifically do we live it is another story. I like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says this, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So we talk about the world. The world has a hard time understanding this. Why? Because the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. So what is that light of the gospel? Well, we know gospel means good news. And that good news is that Jesus Christ died for our sins so that we can have a relationship with Him. But I also believe when we're talking about the light of the gospel, I think of Proverbs where it says, God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And I believe that's the gospel too, because that gospel is contained in God's word. In fact, God's word is the gospel. From Genesis to Revelation, it all points back to the gospel. So when we talk about the gospel being a light to our path, I believe that means the direction of what God wants us to do in life. First of all, God, we know the basics, you know, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. The Great Commission being that we're going to make disciples of all people, of all nations. That's each one of our jobs. We know that. We know that we're to fulfill the Great Commandment, the greatest commandment, which is, you know, love your neighbor. You know, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the greatest commandments. That we know that, but I believe the gospel also gives us light for each one of us and for our church how to live that out. I mean, it's not always easy, but God has a plan for each one of us, and the gospel gives us that light. And as we seek Him, we figure that out more and more. So what is our hope? Our hope is heaven, which gives us a goal to strive towards, even during the difficult times. Paul talked about that. He said, I strive towards the goal, toward the upward call of God. That's what Paul said. I'm striving for that. That's his hope. You know, he couldn't wait to get there. It's like a runner. You know, a runner can't wait, where it's a marathon runner or where it's a sprinter. He's looking at that goal and he can't wait to get to the end. The sooner he gets there, the better. You know, because, and that is true, because he wants to be the first one to cross that finish line, to break that tape. Well, that is true of us as Christians. Our hope is heaven, and the sooner we get there, the better. You know, if it weren't for my family, if it weren't for this church, if it wasn't for proclaiming the gospel to unbelievers, I would say, Lord, take me now. I don't care if it's the coronavirus, I don't care what it is that kills me, but I'm ready to go home. You know, I mean, that's the way we should all feel to some degree, because this world is not our home. But that's the hope. Yet God has given us a purpose in this life, which gives us meaning. So the hope is heaven. We want to get to heaven sooner and later. But then we have, purpose in life. Each one of us has a distinct purpose of why God placed you here, and that gives us meaning, and that gives us reason for living this life, so we can live out that purpose. When we understand that purpose and seek to live out that calling, we experience fulfillment, contentment, peace, and things like that, even in the midst of trials and storms, because we understand that everything God allows us to go through has the ultimate purpose of fulfilling His will. So that's true, but Romans 8, 28 through 30 says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. So I'm going to stop there, and we'll read the rest of it, but Romans 8, 28, for all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. So we each have a calling. And what is that calling for? God's purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. So we were called according to His purpose. But it also says He foreknew us, which I believe means he knew that we would be His, that we would know Him as a child of, you know, He'd be our Father, we'd be His child, and we would accept Him as our Savior. He knew that even before the foundations of the world, before He created all of this, because like I said earlier, God sees the past and the future just as easily as He sees the present. So He foreknew that we would accept Him as our Savior, and He predestined us to be conformed to His image. And I believe that means God said, you know, God knew who He wanted. Now, anybody can come to Him, but God knew who He wanted to come to Him to fulfill a purpose that He has. Everybody else can come to Him if they want, but He has a plan and a purpose for every human being, and some of those I believe, was to come to him and to fulfill the Great Commission. And if you know him as your Savior, then God has a plan for you. And for those that choose to accept him as his Savior, once they do, God says, "Now I have a plan for you," and each one is distinct. So three things to understand in this passage. First of all is that we're to love God and be called to his purpose. See, he says, and we know for those who love God. So we first have to love God, and we know that we're called to his purpose. But if we love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So you know Christ is your Savior and you love God, God will use you. For those really living for Christ, God says, even though bad, sad, evil, wicked things will touch your life, I will use them to ultimately bring about good, both in your life and in the world. And so God will use those things for his good and his glory. We will have the things in our life that just are not fun to go through. Secondly, this passage does not mean all things will be good. Sin and Satan are powerful, but God is more powerful and able to redeem and restore anything for our good and his glory. God will use many things for good, even that which is not good. And this is kind of what I said before a little bit. So not all things are going to be good. Not all things are going to go the way we want it to. But we know that God works all things for good. And then thirdly, it is for those God predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. So God allows everything into our lives for one of two purposes. And this is why I believe either allows things to happen to bring us to God. You know, some people, they have to get rock bottom before they seek God. So sometimes God does that. Maybe that's your life where God just got you to the very bottom where you had nothing left. And God's saying, okay, now will you come to me? And will you trust me as your Savior and allow me to direct your life? That's one reason. Another reason is to make us more Christ-like. And so one of those two reasons is why God allows some of the junk and some of the trials to go through our life. But God works all things together for good for those who are called to his purpose. And God has a plan for your life, and he has a plan for the life of our church family. It is often not how we see it, how we think it should be, or how we want it to be. So take, for example, a true story about Billy. And I promised Tim that I would get done a little early today, so I'll try to wrap up here in about 7 to 10 minutes. But Billy was diagnosed with a brain tumor at age 35, and this is a true story. Billy played college basketball, married his sweetheart, and fathered two handsome sons. Convinced of the truth of Romans 8:28 and 29, he chose to believe God had a good plan for his bad cancer. Because Billy believed God could use even something as destructive as a brain tumor to respond in faith. He responded in faith and trust. And this is a quote, "Even though this is not what I planned for my life," he told his family, "I trust God to use it for good." His unshakable faith and peace were so profound that church leaders asked him to share his story at a men's event. Billy agreed. Then he invited his younger brother, Jack, to go with him. Jack had never accepted any of Billy's invitations to go to church, but this time he said yes. When Billy finished telling his story, the pastor invited attendees to come forward if they wanted to know how to have a relationship with God. Jack was the first person out of his seat. And this is a quote, "I've always thought Billy's faith was a crutch," Jack said. "But watching him go through three surgeries, chemotherapy, and radiation made me realize that what he had was real, and I wanted it." Billy didn't survive his battle with cancer, but because he chose to respond in faith and trust, many people, including his younger brother, came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Billy's cancer wasn't good, but God used it for good to make him more like Christ and to draw others into a faith relationship with himself. So we look at Billy's life. It's not how we think it should go, because if you know that crucial conversations that we're talking about, that I do want to really study that and really finish that study. It says we bring somebody to faith in Christ and we disciple them. Well, that doesn't make very much sense to me when Billy, because of Billy's life, he was able to bring his younger brother to faith in Christ, but he never got an opportunity to disciple him. It just doesn't seem to go the way we think it should go. And through that, Billy could have led many others to the Lord. You think of what his ministry could have been had God chosen him to live longer. But God chose to take him home. And sometimes that's not the way we think it should be. And I call this living outside the box. And when I say that, the reason why I say that is because when we live our lives, we got to get past the tradition, past the way we think things should be, and really seek God's will. And as long as it doesn't violate Scripture, we need to seek God's will. And I think that is one of the hardest things for us to do. It's hard for me. I grew up in church. We all here grew up in church. And so it's really hard for us to think differently than the way we've always done things. I went through actually Chaplain 360. We have a monthly meeting, and we had a gal that spoke at this one. And one thing that she said is that as human beings, we can either look at ourselves two ways. We can look at ourselves as fallen, sinful creatures connected with Adam, you know, the first Adam, which would be Adam and Eve, you know, or we can see ourselves as who we are, sons of God. In other words, the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, we accept him as our Savior. But oftentimes, what do? As she said, is we think of our parents. Well, my mom, she stuck her hand on the stove when she was a little kid, and so therefore I must do the same thing. In other words, this is the way my parents lived, this is the way my grandparents lived, this is the way my great-grandparents lived, so this is the way I should live. And we do that in church too. This is the way we've always done church. This is the way my grandparents have always done church. This is the way we need to do church. That's just the way it is. When really, if you look at church history and you look at Scripture, a lot of the stuff that we've done has really been recent, you know, like within 100 years or 150 years. We haven't done it for very long when it comes to church. And even if you go to other countries and other cultures, you know, the persecuted church, they definitely don't do church like we do church. They can't. They have to meet in basements. They have to get together secretively, however they can do it, and just have fellowship. And so, whether it's our personal life, whether it's our church, we need to be willing to allow God to direct us the way He wants us to go. And that is hard for all of us. It's hard for me. You know, I think of Lot, and we're going to talk about this next week, and I'm going to end here. But we think of Lot in living in Sodom. He was comfortable living there, I would imagine. I don't know how he could have been. He loved God, living in a sinful city. But yet, if he was anything like me, I like my routine. Don't ask me to get outside of my routine. Just going to Nam, it shouldn't stress me out any, but it does a little bit because it's outside of my routine. And I have to figure out all this stuff out. I have to make sure I get to my flight on time. What's it going to be like there? It should be an exciting time. You know, what clothes should I bring? What should I wear with this temperature this time of year? I don't want to feel out of place in any form or fashion. And so I think about these things that really shouldn't. But for me, I'd be like, I'd just rather just stay here in my nice, comfortable environment doing the same thing. But Lot was probably the same way. And then God, what did God tell him? He sent a couple angels and said, look, I want you to get out of the city and go to, was it the mountains or the hills? But just go, get out of here. And he drug his feet. Finally, one of the angels had to take it by the hand and say, no, you're going now. and drug him out. But he said, whoa, wait a minute, but let me go to, was it Zor? See, I'm trying to remember the name. Say, I have it in my mind. I just can't think of it right now. Because I don't want to go over here where you want me to go. Send me to this little town. And God said, all right. Well, through the angel said, all right, you can go to that town and I'll spare that. But you need to get there now because I'm getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and you cannot be around when I do that. And he sent fire and just totally just, you know, whether that was through a meteors or who knows what it was, but God sent down, probably supernatural, I would think, but he rained down fire, destroyed those cities. But then what happened? He was afraid for his life in this other town. And so God still sent him to the mountains. Well, the thing is since he wasn't seeking God's will, several things happened. One, he got his daughters pregnant. His daughters got him drunk. You know, one night, one the next. And so, end up getting him pregnant. And had children from that. But a lot of that happened because he was not seeking God's will above his own comfort. And so that's my challenge to you in your life. You know, as we read in our passage, you know, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And scripture says, for my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So that's my challenge to you. And as a church body, I'm trying to seek I'm seeking God's will best I know how. I'm really seeking him. I'm working through Matthew. I'm working through Doug Lee as my mentor. And we're really trying to figure out what does God want us to do. And should we keep doing what we're doing and trust in his timing and know that someday we may just explode and we really grow? Or does he want us to do something different? God's given me a vision and I'm working through that. And we'll talk about it at 9, hopefully next Sunday. Everybody can be there so we can talk about it at 9:30. But God's really given me a vision. And I'm trying to seek to fulfill that vision as God wants us to. But even in our personal lives, God has given you a purpose. Are you willing to trust him and to seek his will in that? Even if it goes against the grain of what you think should be. It's like, well, that's not the way my parents did it. That's not the way we've always done it. You know, and we think that in our own personal lives, but I think when we do, I really believe that when we think that way, we limit what God can do through us. So that's a hard challenge for you. Seek God's will for everything. And if it just goes against the grain of what you think is right, go to God's word. And if it doesn't violate God's word, then it's probably God speaking to you. But if you find scripture that says, no, this isn't right, then it's probably not God's will. It's probably just, who knows what it is. But I want to encourage you to do that. And I've been saying that a lot lately, but we talk about holiness, thinking outside the box. You know, be willing to think outside the box as you pray and consider God's will for your life and what he wants you to do. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time that we've had a fellowship. It's been a wonderful time. And just for really getting into your word. And Lord, it is difficult for us to know your will. It's not like we're sitting in one chair and you're sitting in another and you're giving us instructions for the day or for the week or for the year. That's not how you work. But you give us what we need to know one day at a time. And so, Lord, help us to patiently wait on you as we seek your will. And Lord, I'm excited about what you're going to do through our church. But Lord, I don't want to just try things out, just to try them out, see if this works or if that works. I want it to be what you want us to do. And so, Lord, as we look to the future, help us to figure that out and help us to seek you above all else and not gauge our success or gauge anything else what we're doing by the world standards or even by what NAM says or what other church planters may say is success, but just look to you and the author and perfecter of our faith and know that you didn't put us here to see us fail. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And you're dismissed.